A little bit about Sarah. She actually had two pretty profound near-death experiences. One was at the age of 5, and the other was when she was 34. Sometimes it can be very difficult for people to kind of touch on that as they're sharing their experience and try to be respectful of that. Anyway, I would like to turn the time over to Sarah.
Thank you so very much for having me today here to talk about my experience. I have two experiences happen. One was age 5, I drowned, and angels were holding me. It was time for me to go back. And at age 5, I didn't really understand what go back means. You know, I was just happy. There was a lot of angels around me, and so it's time for you to go back, Sarah. You're not done. So anyway, there's part of my life that was having a difficult time. My mom passed away of cancer, due to cancer. I was going through a very difficult, hard time. She came to me. I left my body. I hovered over my body. I saw my body. She took me to this place. Now, she was like 30 years old. When my mom, when she passed away, she died of cancer, and she was in a wheelchair, and she needed a hip replacement. She took me by the hand, and it was like, we're just there. And I couldn't believe that I was hovering over my body, seeing it. I go, this is kind of cool. Everything lifted from my shoulders. No worries. Love the feeling. She was in white. She's beautiful, walking. Never got to see that for like 15 years. So she took me to this beautiful place. This is very sacred for me. And her favorite flowers were wildflowers. It was everywhere wildflowers. The sun, the water sings, the rock has a spirit. If you've had near-death experience, you understand. You can look at the sun and not hurt your eyes or feel the rays and it's not hot. She's beautiful. She was talking to me this way and I was talking to her this way because I didn't know any other way. We sat down on a bench and she says, Sarah, your mission's not over. She had a whole list, 3 pages long, the people that I promised here on earth that I'd help. I says, Mom, I just can't do it anymore. I don't want to be here. She goes, no, I need you to go back down. And all these people that you promised that you'd help on earth, I need you to do that. I said, okay. And she says, do not judge them. Do not judge them how, what they wear, who they are, what they look like, no arms, the homeless, no judgment at all, Sarah. This is what I need you to do for me. Because she wasn't able to do this. And she says, love one another. Treat them as your brother, your sister. And you are your brother's keeper. Now that's true statement. I am my brother's keeper. It was such a wonderful, fantastic evening with my mother. It seemed like all night. I asked her if I could stay. She goes, no, Sarah, you can't stay. I begged her. I had a son. I was willing to leave everything. Because it's amazing. The flowers. Flowers I've never seen before. Colors, it's like a knowing. It's like, you know how red is made into red, like purple, how it's made into purple. It was the most amazing experience in my life. The water would sing. The breeze, the air, the grass loved you. Everything was perfect. So since I came back down, got in my body, not happy, but no choice, because I promised a whole lot of people that I'd be down here helping them, and that's truly what I've been tested on.
I give messages to people who are waiting to hear them. That's a curse. I call it a curse. The spirits, they don't leave me alone until I do. I get being in a grocery store. My poor son, when he's growing up, he says, "Are you getting that feeling, Mom?" And I said, "Yes." I go, "Go to the other side of the store. Go to the other side, because I'm going to go up to the..." He goes, "Oh, don't embarrass me, Mom. Don't embarrass me." I said, "I'm sorry, son. I have to give a message." And every time I gave a message, I'd always apologize and said, "I'm so sorry. I hope I don't offend you, but this is your message." They said, "We've been waiting to hear that." So that's a little bit about my story. Mine has two parts. Heaven is real, and we're all equal. There's not one that he loves more than the other. And that's the truth. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're the president of the United States of America. I don't care who you are or what you hold. We're all equal to God or heavenly beings, heavenly angels. And we are all angels to each other. And my message is that we need to help each other out, serve each other, love each other, help the ones that need to be helped. Doesn't matter if you give somebody money. It's not your, you don't pass judgment, whatever they do with it. If they go buy a beer, it's not your judgment. It's a gift. So since I'm back here on Earth, which I'm so happy to be, I get a lot of messages constantly. They wake me up in the middle of the night, have to write them down, have to call a friend, people I don't even know. It's embarrassing, but also I understand, because I promised certain people certain things, people I don't know, but I did know before I came to this earth. I just want you to know that each and every one of you are valuable. So valuable. You have no idea. He knows your problems. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We know it. You can get through it. So all you have to do is have faith and hope. There's a better life out there. I've seen it. My torture is, I want to be there. And I'm here. That's what I deal with every day of my life. When I watch the news, when I can feel somebody's sin, when I go in a grocery store, that's another curse. I can feel what they're doing. I don't want to feel it. But one thing is, it's lifted at night. I said, "Take it away from me, because I cannot feel this and go to bed at night." So everywhere I go, I feel things. And that's my story. It's fast, quick, it's spectacular, it's very private, it's very sacred to me, and it's just a mission for me to do here on this earth. And I think the reason why my mother came to me is because out of all the kids, my mother said she wished she never had me. She told me she never loved me. So I grew up not having a mother who loved me. And I know that's the reason why. So I can forgive her. And I did forgive her. It's made me who I am today. It's made me love each and every one of you today. I could honestly say that. With my sins, my imperfections, my faults, I just want you to know each and every one of you are valuable. And that's my message. I know it's a little short.
Sarah, how did the first and the second experience occur? Was there an illness or an injury that precipitated them?
When I was five, I drowned. That's what happens. I drowned, and I was with angels, and they said, "I need to go back. I have a mission." And what happened is I ate my emotion. Whatever I felt at the time growing up, I'd eat my emotion, so I was much heavier than what I was now. Betty, who's helped me, she's been a great mentor, and my friend has been a great mentor in my life to deal with what I'm dealing with today and the messages I have to give to people. And then the second one, I think it was strictly just for me personally, so my mom can come to me so I can forgive her. She needed that.
Could you tell us a little bit about the experience itself in terms of, you say you drowned, and mm-hmm. when you drowned, leaving your body, mm-hmm. where you actually went, the surroundings, and maybe tell us a little bit about the angels that you came in contact with.
The angels, I don't remember their faces, but I know there's a lot of them. When I drowned, they picked me up and they hugged me. It's like they've known me for such a long time. And they said, it's time to go back and that my mission is not done. I remember that as five, my mission's not done. And I remember to my mom saying, I can't believe I'm still here at age 8 because I shouldn't be. I shouldn't have been here. So basically what it is, it's my own personal, what I need to do down here for other people. Not so much for what. I saw the other side. I saw how beautiful the colors, the water, the sun. It's indescribable. Unless you know if you've ever had an experience like that, you'll know what I'm talking about. Seeing the light and the feeling of love was so overwhelming that you just didn't want to go home. You didn't want to come back. I was ready to risk everything. So I think the first one was my drowning was for me to give messages. And then I finally got the clue. And this whole time I've had this gift. And I just didn't want to tell people. I didn't want to accept it. I didn't want to tell people what they're doing wrong or saying, hey, it's never just what you're doing wrong, it's how important you are. It's your self-worth. It's not what you should be doing or you shouldn't be doing. It's nothing like that. Or it's an ancestor that said, will you tell this person this, or I have forgiven them, or whatever it is. And what it is after I give the message, is I don't remember.
Now, had your mother passed away before you were 5?
No, she was still alive. She was still alive. And I think the reason why she came to me is because she said she never loved me. And I think she wanted to tell me that she did. And she did. And she wanted to be the mother, that she wanted to be here on this earth, that she couldn't be, and there she could. And when I was having such a hard time, that's when she said that my mission, what I promised. And she showed me the list. And it was a scroll. It was miles and miles. And I don't remember. I don't remember promising these many people I was going to help them. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be down here. Are you nuts? Where did I sign up for this job? You know, and I think it was for me personally. That's why it's a personal experience. It's, I know the wind sings. The trees has a spirit. Everything has a spirit. Everything is made as into one. We're all as one.
How old were you when your mother passed away?
I was 34.
Now, did you share your experience with your mother?
My grandmother, I did. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. My grandmother. Her mother.
Okay, your first experience, did you ever share that with your mother?
My mother, yes. Mm-hmm. She's the one who said that I died, and then I said I saw angels, and I said I couldn't believe I'm still here. She said you shouldn't be.
Was there any names or specific angel that you came in contact with in your first experience as a child?
Gabriel comes to my mind. Gabriel.
The reason I ask is for those of you that were here a few months ago, when we had Dr. Morris. Mm-hmm. Dr. Morris does his research on children with NDEs. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's shared that children come into the presence of a woman named Elizabeth.
Mine was men. They're all men. And there was a lot of men. It just wasn't one. They're all holding me. So it was men. It's not a woman at all.
And I realize at 5, you can be, you know, your life, mortal life is just kind of starting out. Mm-hmm. Did you realize the impact of that experience from that point forward in your life, or was it more the second experience that...
It was more the second experience, what my reasoning is, what my mission here to do on this earth, on this planet. This isn't the first place I've lived. I've lived where we all come from. So this is not the first place, no. This is directly for me. It had more of an impact. I've always had it. I've always had, ever since I was a kid, I always had feelings to tell this person this or tell this, but I wouldn't do it. And this, I'm using it. Now I'm doing it. And I've saved a lot of people's lives or what they need to do. I help them out. So
why don't you take a moment and kind of tell us a little bit about the messages you say that you receive, and essentially kind of in what form do these messages come, and generally what is it about?
It could be in a grocery store. It depends. A grocery store, I can be shopping, and then I'll get this message, tell this person this. And then I'll tell my son I've got to give a message to somebody, and he says, okay, I'll go on the other side of the store, and he would, because he was so embarrassed at first. You know, I said, I'm sorry, son, but I have to do this because it doesn't leave me alone until I give the message. And the message is, usually it's forgiveness. Forgiveness. So, and they've been expecting to hear. So everybody that I have come in contact with is expected to hear something. So they're waiting. It's just different messages. It could be one, like my brother, he lives in Tennessee. I called him up. I saw his whole death. I said, Preston, I said, I don't want you to go down this one road in Tennessee. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you want to get in an accident? He goes, okay. He avoided it. There was an accident. Someone passed away. It would have been him. So, yeah, even from Tennessee, my brother, he said, anytime you get those messages, just call me. Let me know. So certain people, certain ones, not everyone's special. Everyone's is important. It's just the ones that impress for me to share with, that I'm supposed to, that I'm supposed to help. I have a list a mile long. Until that list is fulfilled, I will be done here on this earth.
Anyway, Sarah, I wondered what happened with your second near.
Well, actually, it's more of an outer body experience I had, because I wasn't fulfilling my mission when I was 5.
So
I didn't
were
get
you
it.
Asleep?
I was asleep. And then I was taken, I was hovering over my body.
Okay.
And my mother came to me, and it was good to see her. She's beautiful. I want you to know that they light. They have different lights. They're beautiful. They're glorious. And they do not age. I don't know what it is, but they go back to like 30 years. Like she looked like she was 30 years old. But I knew it was her, so. And I just think she came to me because I'm not fulfilling what I'm supposed to be doing, so.
Can you give an example of maybe one incident where you told somebody besides like a grocery store or at like just kind of a small story about
one of my experiences?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To save somebody's life, not to go.
Right, besides your brother.
Besides my brother.
Like a stranger that you didn't know.
I mean, it's anywhere I go. I mean, the mall. I've told a few people, your ancestors, you have been forgiven for what you caused them. And I don't know what they've caused. I never feel that. I only let them know what they've been forgiven for. And it's not like it's hard to explain. It's more of saving of who they are and their self-worth and what they need to do with it. That's what I'm here for. I'm for my brother's keeper. That's what I'm down here for. Okay, I'm for everybody that I come in contact with. I will. I do, don't I?
How old were you when you cycled?
34. I'm 45 now.
I just wanted to ask, did you feel compelled to come here tonight because you had messages that maybe you had for people that are here? And more than that, do you have a message for me? Think hard.
It doesn't work that way. It just comes to me naturally. I don't expect it. It just happens when I get the messages. So there's they asked me if I would speak, and I told them it's a little different experience than near death. It's age 5 I died. Okay, I have a gift. I call it a gift curse because I can't sleep until my messages are given. So I might later. It might come to me, or next month I come to the meeting, I might say, hey, I have to tell you something, this or this or that.
Feel free to tell me tonight.
Huh?
Sarah, can feel free to tell me tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Sarah, can I ask you, just for a clarification, I think, what you're saying is, and you correct me if I'm wrong or right, that it isn't especially like a seance where you hear voices. This is where you have an intuition and you act on the prompting that comes at that moment. It isn't like clairvoyance or anything of that nature. It's definitely sounds like an at the moment you feel and know that you must share. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So all of you who want a seance with her tonight, forget it.
Yeah.
It won't work.
It's a knowing. It's a feeling, and it doesn't stop.
Which is much different.
And it doesn't stop until I give that message.
Like you're prompted, and you must do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will not get rest if I don't.
Sarah, thank you for coming and sharing with us, especially since this is your first public time. I was wondering, do you have any recollection of the experience of drowning and kind of the way that played out? And did you feel yourself? Do you remember anything about that, about running out of air and how that kind of transpired?
Yeah, I remember underneath the water. What I remember is underneath the water, my brother was holding me down. And then I couldn't breathe. And then all of a sudden, I did. I lifted up from the water. Yeah, that's what you're asking. And then I was with angels.
The same brother that you gave a message to?
No, this is my older brother. My older brother.
You mentioned that your mom died when you were 34. So did this occur around the death of your mother, right after, or?
I saw my mother's death. I didn't know it, though, at the time. Let me explain a little bit about that. All of our family member was in a room. I told my girlfriend this. She knows this. And I remember my brothers, I remember my cousins, and everybody's there, and everybody's laughing, having a good time, and I didn't understand why. I looked at Preston, my baby brother, and I said, well, where's Mom? He goes, I don't know. And 2 months later, now mind you, my mom found out on the weekend she had cancer. 5 days later, she died. So my brother from Tennessee had to get to Utah. When he got there and everybody was in the front room, I go, this is what I saw. This is my mom's death. It prepared me for this. But what's so amazing, my brother had a special experience is because he was fretting him. He knew 5 days she was diagnosed with cancer. He had to get a plane ticket out. He was running a couple businesses. He still is. Couldn't get a plane ticket out. 3 days, I called him in a panic. Her nails going blue. Her lip going blue. This doctor says, you know, you got to hurry up and get here. She's going to die. You've got to be here when she goes. And so I panicked my brother a little bit, and he went to bed that night, and my mom came to him. So she already passed and laid in bed with him and said, it's okay. I know you're going to come. You just can't get on the air flight. So that was his tender mercy, because him and I share some spiritual experiences when it comes to my mom, because he couldn't get there in time before her passing, and so she calmed him down.
Did you realize at that time, you said that she had told you she didn't love you?
Mm-hmm. All my whole life.
Okay, so that must have been very traumatic.
Yes.
Her death. Were you able to really resolve that?
Mm-hmm. I did. To see how much she loved my son, I did forgive her, yes.
Was he born after?
No, before. So it's wonderful. I just think my mom was mentally ill, so she had a lot of mental problems. And so I was just her hardest. I was her third child, so I was very active. I just think I just gave her a run for her money. That's what I did, and I'm still doing that now. I gave a run for her money. Yeah, and then she comes and pulls me up there, like, you're not doing your job. You got to finish your job. I said, okay.
Do you feel better about your gift now?
I do. I accept it. I've had help accepting it. Betty Finas, she's helped me with this gift, yes, because I didn't want it. I don't want this, okay? It's not my desire to have it. I never wanted it. I don't like to feel people's pain. I feel everything, and I don't like it. But one thing is lifted at night for me so I can sleep. I work at the Utah Surgical Center.
I'm curious to know what it is about the beyond that you enjoyed the most. And after you answer that, I'm curious to know why you cannot enjoy that now. If your spirit real, then what prevents you from enjoying that now?
I enjoy the remembrance of it. What I loved about it is I felt no pain. I felt no sorrow. It was all happy. Here I feel sorrow. I feel pain, people's pain. So for me to live in this world, it's hard, but I do it because I know that's part of what I need to do here on this earth. I've accepted it. I've moved on. I'm happy about it. I'm happy to share it because I'm here talking about it. But what I love so much is I was willing to risk my son and everybody I knew to stay. It's the most beautiful place you'll ever see in life. Everything's lifted. There's nothing. Nothing. I desire to go back one day.
I just kind of wanted to frame this a little bit for everybody. It's not really unusual for a person that's had a near-death experience to maintain that connection and even, in some cases, to revisit there. What she was just sharing with you is pretty much a universal experience with people that have had near-death experiences, and that is the wonderment, the beauty, the unconditional love of the experience. But conversely, when a person comes back here, you would think the first thing they'd want to do would be to check out and go back. Well, that's not the case. It's a place that people long to return to, but also with the understanding that their life has value and has purpose here. And oftentimes, that purpose is really not defined so much. It's kind of like you have the journey, and your part of that journey is to fulfill the mission, even though it may not be defined to you. So what Sarah is really explaining to you right now is really very much a classic near-death experience. I don't want to take any more time away from the questions you have for her, but if you have some general questions about the near-death experience, please feel free to ask those, and we'll try to address them as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's see, it was a couple months ago that my nephew died. Mm-hmm. We had different members in the family, this will lead into my question, had what I call near the dying experiences. In other words, we were near the dying, and then we started having these experiences where there was one point where we were all in tune with each other's feelings. And we kept on commenting about that. It seems like the spiritual veil was lifted. There was like a special gift that we were all given, but it kind of after a while died out. It sounds like to me you've got that 24/7.
I do. I have a lot of that. Yes, I do.
And so what type of a gift would you call that? The gift of discernment? Of spirits?
Of spirits, of feeling. And I think he was allowing you to feel, and that's a gift. He was allowing you to feel that. The right. Angels on the other side. So you felt as one, or he was dying. Or I know what you're talking about, because when my mom passed away, there's angels. I can feel them all the way around. And it was a special feeling that you can't describe, right? That's what you're describing. A feeling of the most beautiful feeling you've ever felt. It's almost like holy ground.
But there was also communications.
Right.
Not so much as audible, but spirit to spirit.
Yes, yes.
I did CPR on him.
Uh-huh.
But I could feel that he was above.
Yes.
Above us, and he was basically saying to me, in fact, I was actually hoping that he'd have a near-death experience and come back and say, tell us about this great experience. But
right.
he... said, I'm not coming back. I'm having too much fun, and I'm enjoying it here. And I was doing the compressions while I was getting this in my my mind. And so, and then from before that, we were getting lights turning on and off in and physical manifestations. Yeah. Is that kind of a common
electricity
thing?
Yeah, spirits.
With to let TVs you know going on there. And off before even this happened. And then
sometimes,
after that, pictures getting knocked off of him that we set up in the room.
Yes.
As he's trying to say, hey, I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Kind of like that song that it's by the country singers.
Spirit form.
The travel, what's it called? I'm still alive. They get into all these ancient histories of different people.
Yeah.
But I'm still alive. What's the song? I can't remember what it's called, but The Traveler, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you.
Yeah, it is. It's a great experience.
Yeah. Being at such a young age, did you have to be reminded of what happened, or how do you
remember it so well? I just remembered drowning and talking to my mom about it, that I shouldn't be here. That's what I remember the most. I remember tons of angels. I just don't remember one. I remember two. I remember a concord of angels holding me.
Since what age did you start, I guess, feeling all the messages and being able to realize it?
8 years old. Yeah, because I said I shouldn't be here.
Thank you.
Yep, 8 years old.
Sarah, let's go back to when you were with your mom.
Yes.
Could you tell me about the light? Could you see the light? Was it overwhelming? Did you see the light?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the light is overwhelming. You can see the light, and it didn't hurt your eyes. It's as bright as a light I have never seen here on Earth. It's a light you can look into, and it's the most glorious thing you've ever witnessed in your life. And you can look at it, and it doesn't have a rays. Like, you know, like the sun, you go outside, and you can feel the rays on your skin. This had no rays. You can look at, and your eyes did not hurt. It was the most glorious, glorious sun I have ever seen in my life. And the flowers, the colors, you guys. Never seen colors like that, ever.
Were the angels assembled in that light? Could you feel them within that light?
Not so much. No, it was for my mother. It was my mother.
Basically, when you were with your mother, you just experienced your mother, and that was all.
And that's where she wanted to be. Mm-hmm. It was more personal for me.
So the water and the flowers did bear witness to you.
Yes.
Of where you were and what was happening, right?
Yes, and I knew I was on the other side. I already knew. I saw my body. I was hovering. The water sings. Nobody, I mean, if you don't want to believe me, that's fine, but it does.
Oh, we believe you. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Sandy Cherry, and I'm on the board, and I've done research in near-death experiences, so that I give you some backgrounds of my kind of credibility. But before I have you ask your question, I just want to tell you, Sarah, that I don't know if you or any of you have read Melvin Morris's book, Deathbed Visions and Near-Death Visions, or Death Visions. It is very much more common than most people realize to have those that have passed away come and visit one person in the family. Usually people complain because it's not a close person. It's their third cousin they go visit, and their daughter is saying, why didn't Mom visit me? This is amazing. They'll visit in a dream, and because you were asleep, this is commonly a dream state, except, and you can tell them if this is true or not, except that it is more real than life.
It was more real than life because I felt her hand.
Right, which is what we hear in the near-death experience when we interview people. They will say that what I've experienced was more real than life. And that is probably one of the biggest clues that this experience links to many others. So having this visit from your mother is... you want to read more about these things, like I said, deathbed visions and after death visions, and it's Melvin Morris you could look at. Very fascinating, wonderful. In fact,
I'm gonna read that.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. Persons who have children who die when they're sudden infant death syndrome. Okay. Many of these people will have pre-death visions. They will somehow have some inkling that their children are going to leave them. And many of them then will have a vision afterward in which their child will somehow let them know that it's okay.
My mother, yeah, because I wasn't close to her at all.
And she wanted to tell you.
She wanted to tell me. And that prepared me 2 months prior, which I had no idea. That everybody in that room, this is it. This is Mom's death. And she was in her room, and she already passed. And it was, and there was some laughter. There was crying. There was memories. It was just, it's unbelievable because the body, the spirit is still there. The angels are still in that room. And when I know it's incredible. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just, it's so powerful, you guys. I just wish you could all experience it. And just know your self-worth is so glorious and you're so valued. And I know that I'm valued and that's why I'm here. And that's why I came back.
I'm very curious about, you were talking about your mother's mental illness and the trials that she went through here on Earth.
Yeah.
Here on Earth.
Yeah.
What did you find? Your mother passed away and obviously you got to see her in her form of a glorified being of some sort.
Yeah, perfected. I call it perfected.
A perfected being.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when she moved on to the other side? Is all that weight lifted and gone?
Yes, it is for me. It's all gone. And I love my mother. And you know what? If I had to do it over again, I'd pick the same mother. I'd go through the same stuff. And she, you know what? I understood why she was mentally ill. Okay? So I can forgive that. My thing is forgiveness. I'm a big forgiver. And I can understand it. And that has lifted, yes. I have been scarred. I haven't forgotten it. But I love her unconditional. Yes.
Thank you.
I feel very compelled to ask you just about what that last person said. I had a mother who was mentally ill, and I hated her from the day I was born. And I wonder if you struggled with those feelings, or she was a paranoid schizophrenic and hallucinated. And I was terribly embarrassed by her. My husband didn't even meet her till her deathbed. Is that something that you experienced with your mother?
She wasn't paranoid schizophrenic, but mentally ill, yes. I did. I think that's why I gave a run for my money, because being told every day I didn't love you and all that kind of stuff. As a good kid, I went to school, graduated high school, went to semesters of college. But it took me a while to forgive my mom, yes, it did. It just didn't happen overnight. She did a lot of things to me. Put me in the closet, said horrible, horrible things that I would never say to a child or to make him feel less than. So it took me a while to forgive her, but I forgave her. I understand now. She had a problem, like your mom is schizophrenic, and one day she will say she's sorry.
It's been a lot easier since she died. I feel like the burden's been lifted.
The burden's been lifted, but still she's.
And I feel her presence.
Yes.
But I haven't been able to develop any love for her yet.
You will. I promise you, you will. And you will understand her. You will. I believe you will. And it'll be glorious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've come to learn in my own life that when we have anger in our hearts and an unforgiving heart, it's a great roadblock to us personally. Mm-hmm. And we really can't progress until we overcome that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you understand that very mm-hmm. well. And that we're actually held back unless we can forgive. It will hold us back. We won't be able to progress. We won't be able to heal or be cured. And so I struggle with that. It's something I'm in the process of doing, but it is a truth that I've come to realize and am working on it.
Correct. That does stop your progression. I want you to know that, because it did me for a while. So yes.
Can you still see spirits now among us?
Few. I can see few. I mean, not a whole bunch, because I'm talking to all you guys here. You're all spirits to me. But
spirits that we can't see.
That you can't see. They come to me not in a big crowd. They come to me by themselves. So they talk to me, but it's a more sacred thing for that person.
When you're walking through a mall or a store or wherever, does this come to you telepathically and says, the lady in the purple shirt needs to hear this? How? And you said you call people.
Yes.
Do phone numbers come to you? How do you know who you're supposed to call?
Yes, usually it's family members that I call, but it's usually people that I walk in the mall or something they tell certain messages to. Yeah, the lady in the purple shirt, go tell that guy in the green shirt this. Go tell this person this. And I'm going, I don't want to do this. See, I fight with myself. I'm going back and forth the whole time, and then I'm going, here I go. I whip around and says, I'm so sorry. I have to apologize. Hope I don't offend you, but this is the message that you need to know.
Have you ever had anyone rebuff you in any way?
No, not one. They've been waiting to hear that. I have a list a mile long to help.
Just two really quick comments. One for the gentleman that talked about his nephew. That sounded to me like the shared death experience that we heard Raymond Moody talk about a couple of years ago at this meeting. And for you, I think we've heard two or three other people that told us flowers sing.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You talked about the scroll that you saw and that people that you said you knew before you came here to Earth. When you were there,
I don't remember their names.
But did you distinctly know? I mean, how did you know that you knew them before you came?
Because my mother told me so.
Oh, so you didn't remember yourself.
So, oh no, here's a list a mile long that I said I'd help. And I'm going, where did I sign up for this job? You know what I mean? Sarcastically. And basically she told me to shape up.
You didn't have a knowledge that you knew them before other than what she said?
Yeah, other than what she says. Now I understand. Now I know it's people amongst me. So it could be in the grocery store. It can be anywhere. I don't know their names, but it was, I promised these people I'd help them. So on this earth.
Isn't it great? Sarah's just crossed off 200 people tonight.
Right? Yes, don't come to me. Don't come to me tonight. I need a rest.
Have you heard of the show Long Island Medium on TNT?
No.
Yeah, you'd like her. It's your story. Family is embarrassed. But I have a question. You talked about that your trauma is just being back here after being in a place like that and dealing with it every day. You obviously have days where you just really feel like you're in the flow and things are going to go really well. And then those days where you just kind of feel out of sync. Is there something you do that you figured out that helps you back in the flow?
I do. I get on my hands and knees. That's what I do.
Thank you.
I'm not supposed to bring any religion, but I get on my hands and knees. I pray. That's what I do. Yes.
Sarah, I have two questions.
Okay.
Who is more benefited by forgiveness, the forgiver or the forgiven?
Both.
Equally?
Absolutely.
And the other question is, did you connect at all with who you were before this life began? That identity.
When I met my mother, that's when it really hit me. What I was supposed to do here on this earth.
No, I mean before this time.
Oh, before this time. No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Thank you.
My mother was an alcoholic, and she was a great lady. She was really a wonderful lady, but an alcoholic. And so all my life, I had to struggle with that. And I was able to forgive her before she passed away. The question I had, you made a comment about you had the scars that your mother, that were created because of the relationship that you had with your mother. What could you tell me what that feels like and what it means to you to have those scars? And does it, you said something about it formed you, who you are. I think I heard that.
Yes, it made me who I am today, because what I do is I love everyone. I think if I didn't have that in my life, if I was raised differently, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And I truly mean that.
Okay, so for those of us who carry those scars, mm-hmm. and I feel my mother came back to me twice mm-hmm. After she had passed away, and she didn't really ask forgiveness or any of that. She just looked at me and smiled, and she was all different from, she was really young. She was about 30,
yeah.
And she had her hair fixed all different, and she had this beautiful, beautiful smile. Mm-hmm. And I often think, well, you know, I would have appreciated it if you had just said, hey, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Cut me a little slack, you know, I had some problems. But she didn't. And I kind of think that perhaps that was because I am who I am as a result of the experience, and I really like who I am now. Mm-hmm. And so it shaped me, and so there really isn't anything to feel any animosity for. And so I think that maybe is the big message for us, and for me anyway.
If you're happy being who you are.
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
Right.
Great. Hands to you.
Yeah, thanks.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
To overcome that. I know what it's like. Yes.
I was in the church library one day when mm-hmm. I heard a conversation that caught my attention. A man was telling about how he had two spirits that live in his home. They didn't ever give him any trouble, but several times he said that there were things going on. And that evening, the spirits were very nervous and upset. He suggested his wife to go out and look what was happening around the house. She never saw these spirits. She would hear them. And he went in and nothing the first time. The second time he found a fan tipped over in the kitchen, and the smoke was starting to come up. I was hearing this story, and the next door neighbor also had been out with him one day when the spirits walked past them. And he described, and he says, well, he was very tall and skinny. She said, why, that's old Mrs. So-and-so. She lived in that house for 30 years. I told him that in our church we don't let these people live with us. We have them leave. And now I wish I hadn't said that. I'd sure like to have known more of what's going on. This was just a very spiritual family. And he told another story about how his daughter had, or his granddaughter, had been out late. And when she came to the door, grandmother met her and said, I'm so worried about you, glad to have you back. And once she found that she was okay, everything went, she disappeared. She had been dead for 3 months.
We all have angels, so yeah. That's great. Yeah.
As I understand, the second experience was mainly just your mother. Mm-hmm. So the first experience, mm-hmm. what was the nature of the angels, were they, you said they'd reached kind of a prime age and you could recognize they were male and female.
I knew they were male. I knew they were older. They're beautiful, glorious. They did not stand on the ground. They were raised above. They held me in their arms.
I presume that they're
young.
Wings.
Yeah, I mean, young, 30 years old, beautiful.
Were they dressed in colors
white.
As well?
It was all white.
All white.
Uh-huh. That's all I saw was white.
Okay.
I didn't see any other color.
And then what was happening in heaven?
At that
you were there.
Point,
you say you saw people making colors.
Oh, when I saw with my mother, yes. When I was five.
So did they, were they doing things? Were they?
No, it's
me.
Did
they introduce you to anybody when you were five?
No, it's when I happened later when I was 34 that I witnessed the flowers singing, the colors, how it was made. I looked in the flower; it was like a knowing how that red became red. That
so it wasn't necessarily them showing you; you just knew.
No, I just knew.
And so
I just knew.
And were they clustered in groups? Were they playing sports? Were they having meetings?
No, they weren't playing sports. They're all in it. Just a big, huge field. It's beautiful.
What kind of music do the flowers sing?
Oh, it's music that
your ears. It's not any songs that I've recognized here.
So you couldn't identify a genre like classical or
it's just
choirs.
Just, I'm just beautiful, just because I'm looking at their beauty and just singing and just praising.
So there were more tones than that you couldn't necessarily identify as belonging to an instrument.
No, mm-mm. They were the instrument.
I wondered. I guess what I need to say is if something that appeared religious to you happened to you in your experience, I, for one, would really like to hear about it.
My religious thing is what I'm supposed to do here. Mm-hmm. Love one another, no judgment, your brother's keeper, and help each other. That's a spiritual right there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm supposed to do. No judging. I have to get past that one. That one's a hard one.
I apologize if I'm extending it too far, but I've got a summary as well as a question wrapped up in it. I'm quite the conspiracy theorist follower and the 2012, and the thing that seems to be so incredible, for example, tonight, I came here wanting you to tell us about things relative to the end of the world. And this is my point is, we're so captivated by that, and looking at other people around us or neighbors that are having family problems and or trying to sell our religion or other concept or all this other garbage, when the most important thing is what you've talked about here tonight, the relationships that we have with people. My mother... I was going to use the B word in its fullness, but it's a capital B.
I understand.
And thank God she's gone.
Yeah.
And I hope she doesn't come back to me.
She won't. Yeah,
anyone, raise your hand. I'm sure she'd be delighted, but
I
had
enough. She might come to me.
I had enough of her in her life.
I know.
But the idea is that she was really there, as well as my stepfather and every other experience I had, to present those things that I needed to have to become what I came here for. Mm-hmm. A temporary graduate course study, and that's all it is. And yet we have people in our own families that we despise, hate, won't talk to, but we're going to fix you or your neighbor or somebody else, or worry about the gold and silver to get out of our currency and somebody shoot Obama or whatever we have to do, when all these things are already there for our lesson and for our plan. But as long as we have those diversions, we don't have to do the work that you're telling us that you're busy having to do for us. And so I guess that was a question. I'm done. Thanks.
I appreciate that comment because you are so right, because truly you can't take anything with you. It's the richness to your soul. That's what my mother said. It's the richness to your soul, Sarah. When you come back, it's the richness to your soul. And it's right here. Love one another. Be your brother's keeper. And boy, am I my brother's keeper. So that's what it's about. It's down here, you have to live, you have to go to school, you have to provide for your family and everything else, but your true mission here in life is serving one another. That's my feeling. So. Thank you.